If you have your Bible, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. And we want to preach on this thought today, the practice of persistent prayer. The practice of persistent prayer. The book of Luke, chapter 18, I'll ask you if you will stand. We'll read the first eight verses this morning. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We've read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and the thought is the practice of persistent prayer. Now, Jesus gives a parable here, and we see our first point in the very first verse. It is the purpose determined. He spake a parable unto them to this end. In other words, he has a purpose for this parable. And his teaching is that men ought always to pray. Always means to be ready, to be on guard, to be watchful, to be alert. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are to pray without ceasing. You may say, preacher, this is very elementary. I know that I should pray without ceasing. I know that I ought always to pray. So we ought to be watchful in our prayers. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to lose heart, to grow lazy or slothful. It is to grow weary. You know, the best resource we have this morning is prayer. Prayer that is active in communing and fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer that acknowledges God, talks to God, speaks with God. He says we ought always to pray. Now, that doesn't mean that you always ought to be knelt down in the altar 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. That's not what he means. But what he means is you should always be ready to pray. You should always have an attitude of prayer. Been times in the night that Gina and I got a call. There was a young man getting ready to kill himself. Wanted to talk to me about it before he was going to take his life. And I thought, the very fact he calls me means I have a chance. I didn't have time to get forgiveness of all my sins and get into a position where I was ready to pray. I had to be ready to pray. I had to already have all those things out of the way that would have hindered me. And right in that moment, snap right to it and get to praying and ministering to this person. To make a long story short, this person got saved. They're still in a Bible-believing church to this day. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Christians are encouraged by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be watchful to prayer and not to be weary in prayer. How is your prayer life? Is your prayer life watchful or is it wearied? Number two this morning, I want us to see the parable delivered. Jesus delivers this parable. It's about two characters. It's an unjust judge and an unsatisfied widow. First of all, I want us to consider the unjust judge. I want you to see his peril of perversion. The scripture says about this judge that he did not fear God. The scripture says that this man did not regard man. Now, this judge is in a very important position. He has been given the responsibility of carrying out the law of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, Jehoshaphat installed judges into position, And he warned them that they were not to take bribes, they were not to consider who people were, and that they were an agent of the Lord to carry out the law of Almighty God. But this judge cares not for the things of God. This judge is more concerned about being a cheap politician than he is about anything else. He's in it for the money. He's in it for the fame. He's in it for all the wrong reasons. He has no regard for God, no respect for the Lord whatsoever. He does not even respect his fellow man. Here is a man that is a judge who's to carry out the law of God and to be an agent to try to help the people with no love for the people, no mercy, no caring, no compassion. My friend, this judge is a man who has no honor. He has no shame in his life. He is just a scheming, cold, cheap politician. That's all this man is. And the Bible tells us that he has a peril of perversion. He has a perverted view of life. He also has a peril of partiality. The judge heard this woman say, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And the Bible said he would not. Evidently, he was ruling in other people's cases. He was hearing other court matters. He was hearing other cases, other proceedings. But he wouldn't hear hers. And you know why? Because he was partial. This was a widow woman. She had no money. He was looking for a bribe. He was looking to help the influential. He didn't care about the poor or the needy. He cared about the rich and the elite. He was a man who was filled with the peril of partiality. The Lord said we do wrong when we treat one another with partiality. So we see the peril of his perversion and the peril of his partiality. I want you to see the peril of his procrastination. The Bible said he would not for a while. So for a long time, he put her case off, continually ignored her, continually refusing her. A lot of us procrastinate. We put off till tomorrow what we ought to be doing today. And then when tomorrow comes, we put it off again and again. We just procrastinate. When God says testify, we won't testify. When he says I want you to sing, we won't sing. We just procrastinate. Hey, this judge was a procrastinator. And Jesus said about this judge, this scheming, cold, calculating man, Jesus said in verse 6 that this judge was unjust. It means he's dishonest. It means he's corrupt. It means he is unrighteous. And according to verse number 4, that man said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. In other words, the judge knew what he was and he was proud of it. To be unrighteous and corrupt, wicked and evil, and proud to be in that position. That's the unjust judge. I want you to see, next of all, our second character here is the unsatisfied widow. And hers is not perils, but they are pearls. She has the pearl of prayer. The Bible says she came unto this unjust judge. She came to him seeking his help, asking him to hear her case. She was pleading. She was petitioning. But understand, she makes this pearl of prayer because she's powerless. She has no help. She, my friends, according to this scripture, she's a widow. She doesn't have any children that we know of. She has no son, no uncles, no cousins, nobody that's going to help her plead her case. And in fact, her prayer, her petition, her pleading, was it a big prayer? Was it a big petition? It was 5 words. Avenge me of mine adversary. Over and over, continually, persistently, perpetually, she was continuing to make her case before this judge. She's destitute. She's desperate. She's been defrauded. She's in need of somebody's help, but nobody would hear her. She is unloved. She is uncared for. And my friend, she is a complete stranger to the judge. But you know what she did? She went and made her case anyway. Hers was the pearl of prayer. Also, hers was the pearl of priority. She said, avenge me of mine adversary. This one woman, with five simple words, her priority was to get to the judge to make the have things made right. Now the scripture says in Exodus 22, verses 22 through 24, about a widow that she is to be treated with mercy and she is to be treated with compassion. This widow has God on her side. This widow has the scripture on her side. And when she goes to the judge for the righteous ruling, for her case to be heard, the priority she makes in her life is about God and is about His Word. But this judge would not hear her. Hers was the pearl of prayer and the pearl of priority. Hers was the pearl of persistence. The judge would not hear her petition. But did she give up? Did she get discouraged? Did she resign? Did she quit? Though the judge was indifferent towards her, every time she came to court to make her case, can you see the look came across his face of hatred and of anger? He didn't want to hear from her. He's heard her before. He doesn't want to hear her anymore. Every time she spoke his name or spoke about her case, this man grew angry. And the best I can tell, there was nobody in this widow's life to encourage her. After the first four or five times, when she came back to the house after being treated with disrespect and discontent, she came home to an empty house. She sat down and there was nobody that encouraged her when she said, "This is what happened to me. What should I do any further?" Nobody said, "Go plead again." Nobody said, "Go make your case one more time." There was nobody to encourage her. Not a person she could call. Not a person knocked on her door. She was hemmed in this situation. But you know what she did the next day? She got right back up. And she got right back on her knees and down there at that court, and she began to plead again. You see, the courts were for the men. But this woman had no man to stand for her. This woman had no man to encourage her. Oh, she's in a terrible time. Every time she speaks, it's like she's provoking this judge. Now, friend, I want to say to you this morning that the unjust judge, he makes this statement. He said, "Because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." That's the pearl of persistence. She stayed focused. She stayed after it just as hard as she could. And the judge says, "You know what? I'm going to grant her justice. I'm going to give her a righteous ruling." Not because it's the right thing to do. Not because I love her or I care for her. She's growing on me. He says, because she's wearying me. The word weary in the Greek New Testament here means she's blacking my eye in society. She's making me look bad by coming to my court every day and seeking my face and provoking me. It's going to look like I don't care. And certainly I won't get reelected to this position as judge. And he did the right thing for all of the wrong reasons. Her persistent pleading paid off, did it not? Understand, she did not prevail because the merits of her case. She didn't prevail because she was right. She didn't prevail because she was a woman. She didn't prevail for any other reason, my friend, that the unjust judge just got tired of her. God help. Thirdly, this morning, I want you to see in verses 6 through 8, the promise declared. Jesus said about this parable, and this parable is not to compare, but this parable is given as a contrast. Jesus says, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Jesus is contrasting this unjust judge with God Almighty. He said, would God not avenge his own elect? Here's an unjust judge with no love, no compassion, in contrast to our Heavenly Father, who loves us beyond comparison and beyond reason, who has mercy to all people. My friend, the unjust judge and God the Father being in contrast, if this woman who had a perfect case, a poor widow woman, came continually to an unjust judge who, my friend, finally ruled in her favor, Jesus says, why do you, get discouraged coming to God. Your God loves you. Your God wants to hear from you. He wants to answer your prayers. He longs to have fellowship with you. He longs to encourage you. But my friend, you'll have a prayer request. And before long, if it's not met quickly, you'll get discontented. And my friend, you'll get to the point to where you're ready to give up. And you'll quit praying about it and turn this thing over. Friend, I want to say to you, stay persistent in your prayer. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have to pray persistently because I know that God heard me the first time I ever prayed, and therefore I should never pray about that object again. I have that kind of faith. Don't be so pompous to God. When you are persistent in your pleading to the Lord, you're showing how much you really care about what you're asking for. You're showing your own weakness and you're showing His worthiness. You're showing your heart and your desire for your petition. This woman had a need and she sought help until she got it. I'm telling you this morning, friend, God hears our prayers. You remember down in Egypt? Israel was in Egypt for 400 years. And God raised up Moses and He said, I hear the cry of because of their taskmasters, and I see their sorrows. God heard their prayer, and 400 years He sent Moses to get them down there out of Egyptian bondage and affliction. And they cried day and night to God. I want to ask you a question. Has somebody here, God's dealing with you about your object of prayer, about your burden? I want to ask you a question. How desperate are you for the answer? How important is this to you? Do you take it to God every day? Well, most every day I think about it. But I mean, do you get on your knees? Do you agonize with God? Do you plead? Do you beg? Hey, God, my friend, is not some cheap politician. Do you think He does what He does to get reelected, God? I mean, who's paying Him under the table a bribe? Why does God do what He does? Friend, I'm telling you what, because He's God. That's His very character, His very nature. He's holy and righteous, and He longs to hear from His children. Shall not God avenge His own elect? This poor widow was a stranger to the unjust judge. But you and I, when we pray to God, we're not praying to someone who's a stranger. We're seeking our Heavenly Father. How much greater then, and how much more would God do for you and I than what this unjust judge did for this poor widow woman? Hey, someone would teach this out of these scriptures, that if you just bother the unjust judge long enough, you'll get what you want. And that teaching is, if I'll just keep bothering God with it, He'll eventually give me what I want. My children have operated like that for years. If I just keep bothering them enough about it, eventually they'll get tired of hearing from me and they'll just give it to me and I'll get what I want. God's not like that. You can't even begin to bother God. No, your prayer life. You remember when Jesus was asleep on the back of the boat and they were in a storm? And they tried everything they knew. And finally one of them said, we better get Jesus. That's a good idea. And they came and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Whew. Lord, we hate to bother you. We hate to trouble you. But we're pretty bothered about this situation. You can't bother God when you're trying to bother Him. The Bible says He arose. And He rebuked the seas and He rebuked the wind. And peace came upon the deep and upon the winds. Friend, I want to say to you this morning that God wants you to practice persistent prayer. But because you continually go to Him like you're bothering Him, that's not what gets you what you want. You get, listen, God gives to you because He loves you. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. I like that, don't you? Turn with me. Hold your place here to 1 John 5, verse 14. This verse will bother a lot of people. because they believe if they just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask that God's eventually going to do it. But that's not the way it works. We ask and ask and ask because when we are asking, we're coming to God in faith. You understand with me? Prayer is not a profession of faith. Prayer is an example, an exercise of faith. Something we do because we believe that He will hear us. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hear us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. This bunch run around said, just name it and claim it. That verse blows their theology. You ask according to the will of God and be persistent. Let your persistence be an exercise of faith. Jesus said back in Luke 18, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? Will people continually seek Him persistently, serving God in their life? Or when He comes back, and He's coming, will we be sitting here saying, it's been so long, I didn't think He'd ever show up, so I just give up years ago? If you really love Him and you really believe Him, you'll be persistent. I close with this illustration. It's a poor one at best. There was a young man who had just gotten out of the army at the end of the war. His name, Roger Sims. Roger Sims had no vehicle and no way home, but he was glad that this would be the last day he would have to wear that army uniform. And as a car was coming his way, he put up his thumb like so to try to hitch a ride. A black, shiny, expensive automobile cruised past him, and he thought, those folks will never pick me up. But while he watched the taillights, he saw them flash brighter, and the car pulled to the side of the road, and the passenger door opened. The young man picked up his duffel bag, and he headed towards the car. And he looked in the car, and he said, Mister, where are you going? He said, son, I'm on my way to Chicago. He said, Mister, my home's not that far, but it's on that way. Can I have a ride? He said, that's why I stopped, son. Jump in. Now, the young man said, my name's Roger. He said, son, are you going home on leave or have you been discharged from the war? He said, it was my last day of service. Sir, I'll never forget this day, and you've been kind enough to give me a ride home. And the well-dressed gentleman, older in years, reached over and shook his hand and said, my name's Mr. Hanover. He said, Mr. Hanover, do you live in Chicago or just have business? He said, son, I live in Chicago and I have business there. But I'm delighted to give you a lift and drop you off at your home along the way. And for a few hours, they talked and fellowshipped. And Roger Sims, the young army boy, was a Christian. And God began to prompt his heart to talk to him about salvation to Mr. Hanover. And finally, he looked at the man that was some years his elder, well-dressed and great in hair. And he looked and he said, Mr. Hanover, I have something important to ask you. Mr. Hanover said, what is it, son? He said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Jesus has saved me. Do you believe in Jesus? He said, son, I can't say that I do. The young man began to give a testimony about the power of Jesus to change this young man's life. And Mr. Hanover pulled his expensive automobile over to the side of the road. He looked at that young man, and the young man thought, Mr. Hanover's going to throw me out right now. And Mr. Hanover began to weep, and he said, son, I need to be saved. I've never lived my life for the Lord. I've thought about it much, and I need to be saved. Would you pray with me, son? And Roger said, yes, sir, I sure will. And he prayed with Mr. Hanover, and the boy got saved. The man got saved gloriously. And they departed on their way further, and he dropped the young boy off. And 5 years went by, and Roger Sims had become a businessman himself now after he got out of the army. And he got married, and he had a 2-year-old boy, and business had called him to Chicago, and he was preparing all his things and looked in his top desk drawer, and there lay this white a business card with gold letters on it that said Hanover Industries. And he said, I'm going to look up Mr. Hanover while I'm in Chicago. And he went about his business and came to the Hanover building. It was a tall building. It was very important looking. And he came in and saw the receptionist, and she said, it's impossible for you to see Mr. Hanover. But if you're a friend, maybe you can see Mrs. Hanover. And he said, well, okay. And so he waited for a while. He didn't get distracted. He kept waiting and waiting. And finally the receptionist said, I spoke with Mrs. Hanover. She said she would see a friend of her husband today. And so they led Roger back to the room, a great big office with a huge desk. A very elegant looking lady in her mid-50s sat there. And he shook her hand and he sat down. And she said, what's the nature of your business, son? He said, I'm a friend of your husband's. And she said, when did you meet him? He said, I'll never forget it. It was May 7th. I just got out of the Army that day. He gave me a ride. She said, was there anything unusual about that day? He said, boy, I say. And he began to think, maybe there's a reason I'm not seeing Mr. Hanover. Maybe they split up because of Jesus. Maybe she didn't believe and he did and they split up. I mean, maybe there's a reason I better be careful here. But again, he started being prompted of God. And he looked and he said, listen, I talked to your husband about Jesus, and he got gloriously saved that day on the side of the road just a few minutes before he dropped me off at my house. And the woman began to, her whole body began to shake, and she began to weep and sob greatly. And he said, ma'am, what is it? She said, you don't understand. She said, May the 7th is the day my husband died. He was on his way back to me from the business he was on, coming back to Chicago. And as he neared town, he was killed in a horrible head-on collision. She said, evidently, it must have been just after you talked to him about being saved. And the boy said, you know what? If I hadn't talked to him when I did and where I did, who knows what would have happened? The lady said, son, you don't understand. She said, I was raised in a Christian home. My husband was not, and I prayed for him for years that he would be saved. She said, but when I got the call on May 7th that he had been killed, I didn't know what had happened in the car earlier that day. I gave up on God. And I thought, I don't believe it anymore. I prayed faithfully for years and it never happened. So I quit living for God the day he died. I don't even speak about God. I don't speak to God. I've just give up. And she said, you've walked into my office and told me that God heard and answered my prayers in his own time, according to his own will. And she said, God forgive me for my lack of persistent faith in God my Savior. I know that your prayer request is unanswered. I know that you've asked before. I know you've wept over it. I know it tears you up emotionally to even think about it. But God is looking for somebody today who'd get on their knees and say, oh God, you're not like that unjust judge. If that unjust judge would do such a wonderful thing for a complete stranger, how much more would God do for me? A God who loves me, a God who cares for me. I want to be persistent. I want to trust him. I want to seek his face. I'm going to be persistent in my prayer life and my service to Jesus.